Namadeya Madhunata Jahati Vandam.
Namadeya Madhunata Jahati Vandam.
who have conquered the influence of the six kinds of material whips. Chitram, wonderful. Vidura Vigata, fifth grade person. Sakrit, only once. Adadita, if he utters. Yak, whose. Namadeyam, holy name. Aruna, immediately. Sa, he. Jahati, Yivsa, Bandham, material bondage. Translation, my dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust and the lotus feet, the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material whips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death, and he can conquer the mind and five senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to a material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Prabhupada Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit about the activities of King Priyavrata. Since the king might have doubts about these wonderful, uncommon activities, Sukadeva Goswami reassures him, my dear king, said, don't be doubtful about the wonderful activities of Priyavrata. For a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, and everything is possible because the Lord is also known as Urukrama. Urukrama is a name for Lord Vamanadeva, who performed the wonderful act of occupying the three worlds with three footsteps. Lord Vamanadeva requested three paces of land from Maharaj Bali, and then Maharaj Bali agreed to grant them. The Lord immediately covered the entire world with two footsteps, and for a third footstep, he placed his foot upon Bali Maharaj's head. Jayadeva Goswami says, Chalayasi Vikramane, Bali Adhuta Vamana, Paranaka, Nira, Janita, Janapava, Keshavadrata, Vamana Rupa, Jaya, Jagadisha Hare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who is the form of a dwarf, O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything and auspicious for the devotees. O wonderful Vamana, Dev, you tricked the great demon Bali by your steps. The water that touched the nails of your lotus feet, when you pierce through the coverings of the universe, purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganges. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, he can do things that seem wonderful for a common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things unimaginable to a common man by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches us to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Ainanda Tanu Chikim Kuran Paritamam Vishame Vam Vido Kripaya Tama Paripam Parya Sikhu Sadra Sandha Chintaya O Son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. Yet somehow or other I fall into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me from the atoms of your lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya teaches us to come in touch with the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, for then there will be undoubtedly be all. Because of the material body, every living entity, material existence is always disturbed by Shraguna, six whips, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, invalidity, and death. Furthermore, another Shraguna are the mind and body, sense organs. Not to speak of the sanctified devotee, even a Chandala or outcast, who is untouchable, is immediately freed from material bondage, who utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Sometimes caste Brahmanas argue that unless one changes his body, he cannot be accepted as a Brahmana. For since the present body is obtained as a result of all past actions, one has, who is in the past acted as a Brahmana, takes birth in the Brahmana family, and therefore be condemned. Without such a brahminical body, one cannot be accepted as a Brahmana. Here it is said, however, that even Vidura Vigata Chandala, a fifth class untouchable, is freed. He utters the holy name even once. Being freed means that he immediately changes his body. Nathan Goswami confirms this. Yata panchana tamyati kam samrasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dhija kam jayate manam. When a person, even though a chandala is initiated by a pure devotee, who chants the holy name of the Lord, his body changes as we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Although one cannot see how this body has changed, we must accept on the grounds of authority of the status of Shastra that it changes his body. This will be understood without arguments. This verse clearly says, Sajahati Vandam. Yourself with material bondage. The body is a symbolic representation of the material bondage according to one's karma. Although sometimes we cannot see the gross body change, chanting the holy name of the Lord immediately changes the subtle body, and because the subtle body changes, the living entity is immediately free from material bondage. After all, changes of the gross body are conducted by the subtle body. After the destruction of the gross body, the subtle body takes the living entity from the present body to another body. In a subtle body, the mind is predominant, and therefore, if one's mind is always absorbed in remembering the activities of the lotus feet of the Lord, he is to be understood to have already changed his present body and become purified. Therefore, it's irrefutable that a chandala, or any fallen or lower-born person, can become a brahmana simply by the method of bona fide initiation. Translation, my dear king, a devotee was taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord to transcend the influence of the six material whips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death, and can conquer the mind with five senses. However, this is not very wonderful if you are a devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord, even once. So here we have a glorification of the Lord, who is called Urukrama, or one who does heroic or wonderful, astonishing acts of prowess. Previously it was stated how Priyavrata was able to ride around in his chariot and illuminate the night so that it became day. So how is that possible? So this verse here shows how the Supreme Lord is Rukrama, who can do wonderful things, and anyone who takes shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord transcends the material world, which is more than simply turning night into day or day into night or whatever, which is material. But to actually escape from the material world and go to the spiritual world, that is more wonderful. And the Lord can do anything material. He can also do this. He can elevate a person to the spiritual world. So if one takes shelter of the Lord, obviously he can also perform very wonderful feats. So the Lord is the creator of all wonderful things in the material world and in the spiritual world. It is stated here that, of course, a devotee becomes free from the material world by taking the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. But he said, that is not so wonderful, because more than that, a person who is even the lowest of by birth, that is, outside the Varnashram system, if he once accepts the name of the Lord, he is also free from bondage. So not just any person, but just a person who chants the name of the Lord once, he's also free from bondage. What to speak of someone who surrenders to the Lord and takes the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. In order to take the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, one has to already be surrendered. But even one hasn't surrendered, and one is ignorant, and one is beyond all varnas and ashramas, lower than the varnas and ashramas, still, he goes beyond it, beyond all the varnas and ashramas, simply by chanting the name of the Lord once. So this effectively actually negates all other processes, varna ashram and karma yoga, jnana and astanga yoga. Because simply by uttering the name of the Lord, one is beyond all of that. So what is the need of cultivating that? Any of those processes. Okay. So as I mentioned previously, this is why Lord Chaitanya rejected all these other systems, because they are at best secondary processes. And the process of bhakti and just chanting the name of the Lord once accomplishes whatever all these other processes can accomplish. So Varnashram and Karma Yoga put you in the spiritual world and elevate you in the material world, and Jnana and Yoga liberate you from the material world. But one has to go from one to the other, be qualified by Varnashram, and then go to Jnana and Yoga to get liberated. Here, someone who's not in the Varnashram system, who's not elevated to Satvaguna, who's not practiced Jnana, he is also liberated. He's beyond what the Jnani gets, simply by uttering the name of the Lord once. Why? Because the Lord is Guru Parma. He does everything. He can do the most remarkable things. So if one utters the name of the Lord, this is like surrendering to the Lord, and therefore everything is accomplished. So this is ultimately a statement of glorification of the Supreme Lord, the process of bhakti, and the process of Nam Sankirtan, chanting the name of the Lord. So it says specifically here, Sakrit, once. It doesn't say he has faith or no faith even, just as he utters the name of the Lord once, and he's free from all bondage. And of course, Devahuti says, even Jivagre, on the tip of the tongue, so that means not even completely saying the name of the Lord once. That also delivers one from all bondage to the material world. So Prabhupada in the Purport remarks that, we may think this is exaggeration because we see so many chandalas will say the name of the Lord, but look, they don't look any better than chandalas afterwards. So he says, no, we cannot see the subtle body. The subtle body is already changed. And where is the bondage? The bondage is, the karma is held in the subtle body. So the subtle body's already got rid of all of its karma, so we don't see that. So we see only the gross body. So, of course, when the person gives up his body, then he has no karma, so he gets liberated from the material world. Of course, simply destroying karma is not the real goal of bhakti, but that is accomplished. Liberation is accomplished very easily by uttering the name of the Lord once, even without full faith, or half saying the name of the Lord. If one chants with faith, then of course one gets more than liberation. One is more than freed from karmas. He gets out of the material world, no more birth and death, but he also gets a spiritual body in the spiritual world. So that is the effect of having faith and bhakti when one chants the name of the Lord. And that is different from simply chanting the name of the Lord once and getting rid of all your karmas. So, getting rid of karmas is not some extraordinary thing. It can happen for even the chandala by chanting once. So that is the power of the Lord's name. But to achieve bhakti, then of course one has to do more than that. But the statement like this is made to show the superiority of chanting the name of the Lord to jnana, yoga, and karma. Yeah? So we should never think that bhakti is dependent upon varnashram and karma yoga or jnana or yoga. Yeah? Because already, by chanting the Lord's name once, one has surpassed all of that. So there's no dependence as such upon other processes. So we should not mix the process of bhakti with other processes and make it dependent on other things at all. It is completely independent. Other processes may be followed which are favorable and support the process of bhakti. But bhakti is never dependent upon anything else. And therefore the example here is given of the chandala. He is not qualified for varna or ashram or karma yoga or jnana yoga or asanga yoga. He's not qualified for anything. And he hasn't even got faith, which qualifies him for bhakti. But he chants the name of the Lord, and he frees from, he's free from karma. Okay? So therefore, to become liberated from the material world is nothing for the Supreme Lord. He can do that for the devotee immediately. But more than that, of course, the devotee achieves a spiritual body in the spiritual world and serves the Lord eternally if he takes to the process of bhakti proper with association of devotees. That's a higher level. The Prabhupada has also quoted this verse about turning bell metal into gold by a certain chemical process. And similarly, by the process of diksha, one becomes dvija. So, of course, most likely this will refer to the process of one is the process of Vaidik Diksha, where one becomes twice born, either a Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Brahmana, by taking Upanayanam Diksha. So that qualifies one, that Diksha. So this is a glorification of Diksha. Just as bell metal, by a certain process turns into gold, so a human being by a certain process called diksha becomes dvija. However, this verse here actually does something more remarkable than that, because chanting the name of the Lord once, one is beyond the dvija. Yeah? So, not without initiation, without diksha, without Vaidik diksha, and even without Vaishnava diksha, but chanting the name of the Lord by a chandala once, he surpassed even this of being a dvija. Okay? So the goal of the Vaishnava is not to become a dvija or a brahmana or take diksha and transform from bell metal into gold. The process is more than that. It's not even to get free from material bondage by chanting once. But it's actually to serve the Lord eternally in the spiritual world. That is the goal of the Vaishnava. Nevertheless, to show that the process of diksha transforms a person, we can say that in the same way Vaishnava diksha, if we take this as Vaishnava diksha, then again, chanting which has the name of the Lord in the mantras in diksha, then this also transforms a person and can take them beyond even the dvija status. So the process of bhakti is not to make one into a dvija. The process of bhakti and Vaishnava initiation is to go beyond the whole varnashram system. Of course, automatically everything there is included. So it is said that one half chants the name of the Lord, he has already accomplished whatever rituals and whatever tapasyas, whatever pilgrimages a spiritual person should do according to the varnashram system. It's already accomplished by a person who's chanted the name, half chanted the name of the Lord once. One is transformed by the process of Vaishnava diksha beyond even a Brahmana. That is, he becomes a Vaishnava. So the Vaishnava is more than this. That is more than simply destroying the bondage of the material world, destroying his karmas, destroying his varna and his ashram. He actually is on the path of attaining eternal service in the spiritual world. So that is the ultimate result of
Vaishnava Diksha.
However, we also know that though Diksha is there, the Diksha is part of Paksharatra. And the main process in Kali Yuga is not Pancharatra, but chanting the name of the Lord, Bhagavad Marga. And chanting the name of the Lord does not require Diksha. So, whatever is accomplished by the Diksha process here is also accomplished by simply chanting the name of the Lord even once without Diksha. Because here it says one destroys all bondage. Destroys bondage in the material world. Here it just says one becomes a Brahmana or whatever. So, yes, Vaishnava Diksha, and then of course following the process, then one obviously takes to the process of bhakti worship to the deity and goes to the spiritual world eternally with the spiritual body. That's there. But just chanting the name of the Lord also, not just once of course, but with faith, with bhakti, then again, same result is there. One goes to spiritual world, one gets the spiritual body, one serves the Lord eternally. Now, the provision in taking the hold of the name of the Lord is that one should have proper knowledge. If we don't have proper knowledge, then we'll have namabhasa, which will ultimately take us to the spiritual world, but we don't get rasa. We'll get saloka, sarsi, samiti, etc. So, if we actually want to get the highest result, that is eternal service to the Lord, then we actually have to take association of devotees and get the proper knowledge, along with the chanting of the name. So that is the final conclusion.
When you have proper knowledge,
we have that, understand the principle, the position of the jiva, the position of the Supreme Lord, the position of Krishna in relation to devatas and in relation to other forms of the Lord, the position of the Vaishnava as opposed to the position of Brahmins, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, the definition of pure bhakti as opposed to mixed bhakti, etc. That we have to understand and execute properly. So this karma is already destroyed. But as I said, it may not be apparent because the gross body is still here. But karma is all destroyed. Now, of course, there is one provision on one should not commit aparadhas. So, if one commits aparadhas, then all the karmas are not destroyed. That's another. The good qualities of bhakti manifest. The good qualities of sattva guna are a matter of bondage. So if we cultivate sattva qualities, we end up in bondage in the material world. We get attached to those qualities in the material world, we have to come back on Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or somewhere. Through the process of bhakti, one develops all good qualities, if one practices properly. So one of the meanings of Subhada, the second quality of bhakti, is bestowal of all good qualities. But those are not sattva qualities, because we're beyond, the devotee is supposed to be beyond sattva and beyond material bondage. So those are spiritual qualities. Those develop in the devotee.
But
by the
process, just by chanting once, these sattva qualities destroyed, the karmas are destroyed, but still we see that suddenly the behavior of the person doesn't change. Primarily goes by these sattva qualities.
Yeah.
The behavior doesn't really change. It just continues for much longer time, and it takes time, and maybe more association.
Yeah, it depends. So as I said, if one commits aparadhas, then one does not get the destruction of all the karmas and whatever. That's one thing. So that could be a problem. The other thing is that, as in the case of Ajamil, all of his karmas were destroyed, but still it looked like he was attracted to the prostitute and this and that, whatever, after that, until he died, actually. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that in terms of an appearance. So the Lord did not destroy these habits, even though actually all of his karmas and desires and ahankara were destroyed, the appearance was kept in the material world. So that was up to the Lord to keep that appearance, to hide the glories of bhakti. So it's not to discourage karmis and gyanis.
So, when somebody chants the holy name, but his sinful tendencies continue, how do you understand that?
Well, it could be the aparadhas. So, for instance, the smartas who chant the holy name of the Lord, they don't get all of their karmas destroyed because they're thinking of the Lord as a material body all the time. so they don't get their karma destroyed.
When in ISKCON, we follow both Panchvatika as well as Bhagavata.
Yeah.
Any specific reason why we do both rather than just doing
the... Well, if that's mentioned, of course, in the Nectar Devotion System, five principal angas. One is chanting the name, one is association, one is worshipping the deity. So among the five, it's there. The other is mentioned by Jiva Goswami. He said, yes, it's usually recommended to do deity worship also because people's senses are uncontrolled, restless. Therefore, by engaging the senses, the mind, in deity worship, that helps with the steadiness. So, along with the chanting, that is often recommended. And therefore, they take Diksha for that. Depends. If he's got a wrong conception, I'm going to be Krishna when I chant, then of course he won't get the result. So he has to have proper knowledge of some sort.
You will get the benefit of the knowledge.
Well, it depends on his knowledge. If he's thinking I'm going to merge into Krishna, that's what's going to happen. So he won't get prema. If he thinks Krishna's a material devata, then he's doing aparan. So then he also won't get Krishna, but a svarvaloka maybe. So it depends on his knowledge. He chants in ignorance. But, of course, as in the case of Ajamila, if he's completely accidentally chanting like that, without any offense, then he can get after liberation. But that still doesn't get Krishna.
Even in a system of standing, maybe one word or one sentence of Mahamantra can be good or not. And that one. If you keep chanting.
Yeah.
There will be some instance that some word will help you.
Yeah.
Because of knowledge. Sometimes we think I have chant, you become a devotee. That is just so that if I don't chant, I don't think it's you.
Well, see, purity is one thing, but of course, what does purity mean? Does purity mean simply absence of karma? Because that's not the goal. So pure chanting actually, or pure bhakti, doesn't mean simply absence of karma. That means actually full strength of bhakti. That's what it means. So these two things are separate. Destruction of karma and growth of bhakti are two different things. Of the two, the primary effect of chanting is the increase of bhakti till it becomes prema. The secondary effect is the karmas are destroyed, the material body is destroyed. So liberation is a side effect.
So one personality in Chitanjitavada, his name is Ramdas, who was also serving Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, incessantly chanting the chanting Ram's name as a devotee of Ram, as well as the scripture. But still Mahaprabhu did not show any mercy. And he had some wrong conception of the Ram. But despite the fact that he served Raghunath Bhatta, quite indicated.
Well, it's probably because of offensive mentality of some sort. Huh? So simply chanting the name of Ram is not a problem because Murari Gupta also chanted the name of Ram and got the mercy of the Lord. So it depends on the person.
His service to Raghunath Bhatta would not make some sense to him. He was serving Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Would it not make some...
Well, it depends on his attitude of service. If he's serving with the wrong mentality, for material benefit or something, then that could also interfere with the result.
Well, how is this possible that we chant two words without offense and other we chant with offense? I mean, how can we segregate like that? Because if offenses are there, then everything is
wrong. Well, offense ultimately means two things. One is lack of knowledge, in which we have a wrong conception, so that can be cleared up by knowledge. The other aspect of offense is the lack of surrender or the desire not to surrender. So that is destroyed by the growth of bhakti itself. So if we continue the process with at least proper knowledge, that will help to increase the bhakti and ultimately destroy the tendency to enjoy maya.
One question. Okay, we get some knowledge, but sometimes what happens is because of the ghost of the mind or something, we still don't, although we may be aware that this is wrong, but sometimes still that particular activity, you know, because of the material contamination happens. So still it's offensive. What I'm saying is, even despite having that knowledge, one may still be prone to committing apradha.
Is it apradha or is it simply sinful activity? What is it? Those we have to distinguish between apradha and sinful activity also.
But what about apradha? Sometimes because of that, although, okay, devotee should not be offended, but sometimes one gets angry or whatever, and then
That again is of different sorts and of different intensities, whether it's intentional or unintentional, and whether it is what, verbal, mental, or physical, and of course the various degrees and types of apparads also. So in any case, any type of apparad will have effect. Then again, the person who is offended of various categories, he could be Vaishnava Praya, not a real devotee. It could be an actual devotee, but a Kanishta. It could be an Uttamadhikari. So we have different grades of devotees also to whom to commit offense. So therefore, the results are all going to be different for these different categories. In any case, one should try not to offend anybody, even the Vaishnava Praya is not a real devotee. So Prabhupada mentions that even the Sahajiyas or whatever, at least they're surrendered to Krishna to some degree. So mentally, we respect them, even if actually we know they are Siddhantically wrong or whatever. So we try to avoid apparada as much as possible. That's all. Now, of course, if we're in a conditioned state, nothing is pure, so there's possibility of mistakes somewhere along the line. But as much as possible, we have to keep trying.
How does one get followers?
No?
Said in
the chapter of the tree. Tolerance of tree. Well, obviously, intolerance is an aspect of one's pride and anger in the material world. We have anger and pride because of lack of fulfillment of our material desires, and therefore we're intolerant of others or of obstacles or whatever. So how do we get rid of that? The process of bhakti develops all good qualities and destroys all bad qualities. So it's actually how one practices bhakti. If one practices effectively, then in sadhana, these are the effects, klesha agni and subhadha.
Klesha agni takes time or depending on individual?
Well, klesha agni in one sense is Ajamil had all of his karmas destroyed immediately, the first time he chanted without faith. That of course does not mean all desires and ahankar, etc. Usually that ahankar will only get destroyed in bhava stage, but karmas are usually ultimately destroyed by asakti stage, all destroyed. Well, because as I said, one needs knowledge. So for that one needs teachings, whoever teaches is guru.
Maharaj, the third one of Shisha Ashtakam primarily talks about pride, proud of pride. And Krishna says in the third chapter, Bhagavad Gita, that lust is the main enemy.
Well, we can say that they're all, one is equal to the other. Lust, anger, greed, they're all generated from one from the other. Ultimately, kama is the basis by which we get greed, anger, intolerance, and so many other things.
So we can equate lust with pride.
Yeah.
Have you ever happened that we know all the knowledge is there? We know the solution to the state, stuff we have done. No.
Well, accidental, then we can't do anything about that. It's the material world. If he repeats the accident again, it's not an accident. Well, you should try to avoid that, so. But, you know, repeats is not so much accidental. No, karma, our actions are not determined by karma. The situation may be determined by karma, but the actions we do at that time are not karma.
Material is just
whatever you decide to do, I'm more knowledgeable, I also have more knowledge, and people start behaving in different ways to others. There's this sort of mentality.
What?
The pride of knowledge.
Well, if we take knowledge in order to show our superiority, that again is not real knowledge. Knowledge means that is which serves to devotion.
Yeah.